Today is Friday, June 17th, 2022. This is the Link and KY Daily Headlines Podcast. I'm Matt Spaulding, and these are the stories we're following today. COVID test sites closing in Covington and Florence, reported on by Megan Goth. Gravity Diagnostics announced on Twitter Thursday that it is closing its Florence Mall and Covington drive-through COVID-19 testing sites. Thank you to our partners from Covington KY Gov, State of Kentucky, Florence Mall, and all of Team Gravity for your support in providing this resource to our community, the company said in the tweet. The closure of both sites is set for June 29th. The laboratory testing facility has been lauded for providing access to COVID-19 testing across Kentucky, including at the State House in Frankfort. We are so lucky in Northern Kentucky that we have Newport-based Ethos Labs and Gravity Diagnostics, said Representative Rachel Roberts, a Democrat from Newport, in January, arguing that Beshear hasn't received enough credit for how much access Kentuckians have had to testing. People forget how hard it was to get a test a year and a half ago. Inside Link, the delicate balance of reporting breaking news. Reported on by Lacey Starling. Inside Link is a weekly column from our CEO, Lacey Starling. If you have questions you'd like Lacey to answer, email her at lacey@linknky.com. Monday night, I received a call from one of my staff. They were positioned outside the police cordon at the developing situation in Fort Thomas and needed to talk through how we were covering it. From where he was standing, he could see police vehicles and personnel and hear loud popping sounds that were either gunshots or flashbangs, a type of less lethal explosive designed to disorient, not kill. He could also hear law enforcement using a megaphone to attempt to get someone out of the house they were surrounding. And that's all we knew. Situations like this are very difficult for news organizations to cover, and the advent of social media makes them even harder. While we were hard at work trying to gather facts, theories and hypotheses were stacking up on Facebook pages and in the comments under our breaking news alert. People started guessing who was involved. They said there was a hostage in the house. There wasn't, thank goodness. Some were even posting live streams of the scene and getting thousands of views. We, however, chose to remain quiet. We let the public know the situation existed and kept a reporter there until it ended, but did not report any of the additional theories for several reasons. First, it is our mission to only report facts. If we reported that there was a hostage, we would have been wrong. Unless and until the facts are verified by law enforcement or the people directly involved in the situation, we don't report them. Second, in the digital age, whatever we report lives on forever. If we report the wrong name of someone involved in a story, particularly one involving a police action, that information can live on in screenshots, even if we update the story. People can take that information and disseminate it and then not make corrections if it turns out to be incorrect. These incidents can damage someone's reputation and follow them the rest of their lives. If they are arrested, charged, or convicted of a crime, that's public record and we'll report it. If they aren't, we won't just take someone's word for it or pull a name from property records. Third, if you can see coverage of an event on social media, so can the people involved. We had no idea if the person inside that house was checking Facebook or watching TV, and if something we posted could escalate an already dangerous situation. We are meant to observe and report on what's happening, not affect it through our coverage. And finally, live streaming, photos, and describing the scene could put law enforcement on the scene in greater danger. If our video or photos had revealed the tactical position of an officer, and that made it easier for the person inside the house to target them, a bad situation could have become even worse. We're lucky that we live in an area where these types of scary, complex situations are rare. Their scarcity makes them attention-grabbing, but we have to remember our duty to tell the truth, not damage innocent people's reputation, not become part of the story, and not put law enforcement officers at greater risk through our actions. Here's what these local cities will receive in rescue plan funds, reported on by Mark Payne. Governor Andy Beshear announced funds exceeding $162 million from more than 360 non-entitlement cities in Kentucky from the American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA, and a significant number of cities in Northern Kentucky are going to receive these funds. This is the second round of ARPA funding for eligible local governments, as these cities received their first tranche of funding last year. The money going out today will help cities offset expenses related to COVID-19, including the costs of personal protective equipment, vaccination clinics, loss of revenue, payroll, and more. COVID has proven that Kentucky can rise to meet challenges when we work together, Beshear said. This funding will set eligible city governments up for success as we remain committed to building a better Kentucky. The Department for Local Government, DLG, is tasked with distributing these funds. non-entitlement cities or cities with populations under 50,000 that did not file for a different distinction with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development were required to submit budget certification forms to DLG. The total amount of funding to be sent out to cities is $162,101,603. Each allocation was based on population per the U.S. Treasury. To see what each city will receive as part of this allocation, visit linknky.com. New emergency shelter works to remove barriers to employment, reported on by Haley Parnell. It's been almost 4 months since the Emergency Shelter of Northern Kentucky officially opened its new facility's doors. In February, the shelter moved from its home of 14 years on Scott Boulevard in Covington to its new location at West 13th Street in the city. The executive director at the Emergency Shelter of Northern Kentucky, Kim Webb, updated the Kenton County Fiscal Court Tuesday on programs at the new facility. The Fiscal Court, Kenton County, the city, everybody is truly making a difference in the lives of individuals that are trying to piece their lives back together, Webb said. She first noted the new features that allow the men staying at the shelter to remove barriers to finding work. Webb said opening a second regional driver's licensing office and having it located in Covington has been crucial for men who need to get their IDs renewed. The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet opened the second office back in April. The shelter has 18 work program beds out of 68 total beds, which provide supportive and temporary housing for employed men who need a place to stay while saving money. During their stay, the shelter helps them find accommodations or connects them to other services. Webb said, though some men find work, they stay at the shelter longer than they may have in the past because of the lack of affordable housing. In May, the emergency shelter partnered with the UK College of Medicine to implement a free on-site healthcare clinic. The Compassionate Care for You clinic operates on Mondays and Wednesdays and is run by UK College of Medicine students as part of their service learning. Two beds are set up to serve the guests who stay at the shelter. The hope is to get the clinic running at least twice a week as the program progresses. Webb said the clinic helps people with illnesses, like gangrene, that can keep people from being able to work. During the meeting, Webb acknowledged the Kenton County Fiscal Court and the Director of Kenton County Emergency Management, Steve Hensley. They were recognized for their help getting the new facility open and impacting their mission to provide a life-saving and life-changing low-barrier shelter. Webb presented the Kenton County Fiscal Court with the 2022 Ralph Dries Impact Award and Steve Hensley with the 2020 Beyond the Call of Duty Award. Webb said Hensley had a tremendous impact in helping the shelter during the pandemic find overflow locations when they were forced to cut their occupancy down to only 24 beds. Webb said the court championed to push us over the finish line on their new facility and thanked them for their ongoing support the last 14 years. Kenton County still owns the shelter's old building on Scott and Covington. The court voted at the fiscal court meeting on June 14th to surplus or dispose of the building. Whether that means selling it, transferring ownership, etc., will be decided at a later fiscal court meeting. And those are the headlines we're following for Friday, June 17th, 2022. The Link NKY Daily Headlines podcast and all Link NKY podcasts are available through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and linknky.com. Subscribe, tell a friend. And for more on today's headlines and to see what else is happening in Northern Kentucky, visit linknky.com.